You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 446.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin. Happy Thanksgiving week.
This is our Thanksgiving spectacular.
Is it going to be spectacular, though?
No. It's going to be short and stupid. Cornflake, what are we doing for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, this one really delights me, Kevin. On November 25th, it is National Jukebox Day. Day to celebrate the jukebox, which has been around for some 130 odd years. But I'm going to put a question to you here and just see how you do. Pop quiz.
Uh-oh.
For National Whatever Day.
Oh, no.
Can you name the top five jukebox hits of all time?
Yes. You thought this was going to be difficult for me, didn't you?
I did. I want to hear you name them.
Yeah. All right, number five is the Laverne and Shirley theme song. Number four, also the Laverne and Shirley theme song, but in Spanish. Number three is Interplanet Janet from Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay.
Very popular in bars and whatnot. Number two, of course, is Two of Hearts by Stacey Q.
As is only appropriate.
Yep. And the number one jukebox hit of all time, Escape, the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes.
Ah, I would have thought that you would be completely unschooled on this, Kevin, but I am very impressed. So jukeboxes rose to prominence in the 1920s. They were really big through the 1940s, the 1970s. They got a bit of a revival when you could put CDs in them back in the 80s and early 90s.
Mm.
And I was thinking back to the early 90s and King Bowling Lanes out in Gosstown, New Hampshire, which was like a place where I hung out when I was a kid. They had a jukebox and you could play your 90s Aerosmith on it, your Spin Doctors. I went back in 2011 and that exact same jukebox was there, Kevin.
Yeah.
And it still had the songs from the late 80s and the early 90s on it. They had never been changed. So when I saw that we were going to be talking about National Jukebox Day, I thought, you know, I'll look up King Bowling Lanes and I'll see if they still have that jukebox. And sure enough, on their webpage, they talk about how they have a jukebox.
But then you go there and they're playing like Waiting for a Star to Fall by Boy Meets Girl. Great. Let's bowl. How do you feel about bowling alleys being open right now?
Hmm.
Is there a worse possible business?
How do you social distance that?
I mean, you're putting on somebody's weird shoes. Then you're shoving your hands inside the, you know, the giant 75-year-old weird diseased bowling ball.
Well, I mean, that's why I didn't go and check out the jukebox in person.
Now, what about as far as operating the jukebox, the Fonzie method? Did you ever get the hang of that? You just whack the side of the thing?
Oh. No, I never get violent with a jukebox.
That's the way to do it. You know, Henry Winkler figured out better than any of us how to operate a jukebox.
So true.
But he was a huge Stacey Q fan, so that only makes sense.
Yep.
All right, happy Jukebox Day.
Same to you.
I'd say in general, if you're anywhere right now where there's a jukebox, you probably shouldn't be there. Go home.
Here.
Moving along in this Thanksgiving spectacular. This is the third Thanksgiving show that I've recorded this week. By the way,
you are on a roll.
Usually we plug other shows that we've been on at the end of the show, but we might as well do the plugs right now. So let's mention ESO Bored Silly, you know, here on the ESO network.
Mm-hmm.
ESO Bored Silly. And we recorded episode 8 this week, and I believe it's already available. The catch is this show is only for Patreon people. So if you want to hear me and the rest of the ESO board of directors being silly, ESO Board Silly is a Patreon exclusive podcast. So check out the ESO Patreon, and lots of bonus extra exclusive stuff like that is available there. And this was indeed our Thanksgiving show. So we were talking about the various stupid, weird things that we will be doing this Thanksgiving. Because this Thanksgiving is going to be stupider and weirder than ever, you know?
Yeah. I was just thinking about, I mean, the parade's cool, but I don't think they're having that, are they?
Sort of, yeah. There is going to be a Macy's Thanksgiving parade, but it's essentially a TV show this year, and I think they're shooting things over a couple of days on a much, much, much shorter route, and I'm guessing that they just blocked it off and just, you know, produced it like you'd produce a TV show.
Hmm.
So you can turn on your TV, and that's what you were going to do anyway, right? You weren't planning on going to Manhattan to stand there like an idiot in the freezing cold streets?
Never. Not this year, not ever, but definitely not this year.
Yeah, so all those maniacs that wanted to be there on the sidewalk waving at Al Roker, they're out of luck. The regular people that just like the weird spectacle of the stupid parade every year on their stupid TV, that's still on. So there you go. I actually went to New York for this will not be my strangest, stupidest Thanksgiving ever, because I did actually go to New York to be in a Thanksgiving parade one year. You know that.
Yes.
We won't go into details today, but yeah, I've done Thanksgiving about as weird as you can do it, because I was in New York City Thanksgiving Day on TV in the saddest, lamest little parade in the world. I was hanging out with Tom Bergeron and Dirty Dancing's Jennifer Grey. And I was juggling cans of Spam. So happy Thanksgiving. I learned the true meaning of Thanksgiving that year. Spam juggling with Jennifer Grey.
Couldn't agree with you more. But this year, since we're all stuck at home, at least it sounds like there's going to be some podcasts we can listen to and enjoy Thanksgiving.
Well, you got ESO Board Silly. Episode 8 is out already for the ESO Network Patreon people. And we also just recorded for the American Sci-Fi Classics track, not a podcast, but a video show that's going to be on their YouTube channel. I believe they're calling it Turkey Day Potluck, but the idea was just a bunch of the silly classics track people got together and we made a show. It was a potluck. Everybody brought their own subject to the table to discuss, and we just recorded a goofy Thanksgiving show. That is not out yet as this show comes out, but it will be out Thanksgiving Day on the Classics Track YouTube channel. So we'll have links to that when it's available. But that was me and Joe and Gary and Lola and Sherman. So a bunch of the crazy regular weirdos from the Classics Track having some goofy Thanksgiving talk.
Yeah, sounds like an extravaganza.
Yeah. Meanwhile, here we are on the Flopcast Thanksgiving Spectacular. Because I thought, well, I've done 2 Thanksgiving shows already this week. Why not a third? And that's where you come in here on the Flopcast.
I feel ready. It's like, I'm pumped. It's like I was made for this, Kevin.
Yeah, let's do this. Well, you know what I did for the Turkey Day Potluck Classics Track show? I watched the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
A classic for sure.
I watch it every year. This year I watched it a few days early. Snoopy did it right for this year in that they were out in the yard, you know, they're outside at the big goofy table. And when he was serving the food, he was just flinging it like a frisbee.
Right. No passing the plates around or anything like that.
Nobody touch anybody else's stuff except the dog. From a safe distance, a beagle will fling your Thanksgiving meal to you.
I mean, that's certainly how I was planning to do it this year.
That's a good way to do it. And of course, the menu. We all know the menu.
Yes. Some of my favorite things.
It looked pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
We were talking about a cartoon from 1973. When Snoopy loaded up everybody's plates, it looked pretty good.
I mean, especially for the likes of us, because you don't do turkey, and I don't like turkey. So, yeah, let's have instead some toast and some popcorn.
Toast, popcorn, pretzels, jelly beans.
Jelly beans!
And I guess technically there's also ice cream sundaes, because if you look closely, Snoopy wasn't throwing ice cream at anybody, but there were ice cream sundaes on the table. But the classic 4 ingredients, though, if you want to have a proper Snoopy-style Thanksgiving, yeah, toast, pretzels, popcorn, jelly beans.
Always forget about the pretzels.
I think That's the way to go.
100% agree. And as much as it would be fun to have all of the food flung, if there's ice cream flying around, nothing is sacred. So they got that part right, too, in my book.
I looked up each of these classic Thanksgiving food items today. I Wikipedia'd everything that Snoopy was putting on the plates. All right, toast. According to Wikipedia, toast is a form of bread that has been browned by toasting.
Accurate. Can confirm.
Yeah, that clears up that little mystery.
I don't think he even put anything on the toast, right?
Like, oh, yeah. No, it was buttered.
Oh, he did butter the toast.
Well, he didn't. It was buttered by a bird. That was Woodstock's job.
Woodstock.
Back in the kitchen. In the kitchen. Indoors. There was a bird. Not a pet bird. A wild bird from outside.
Well, that disturbs me less than the idea of having dry toast for Thanksgiving dinner. You gotta get that butter on there one way or another, and I guess if Woodstock does it, it's as good as anyone.
So you're presented the option, do you want a slice of toast with nothing on it, or butter was slobbered all over that toast by a filthy animal from the outdoors? Okay, you're in.
Bring me the Woodstock toast.
And man, what a toast operation that was. Remember they had like 6 or 7 different toasters going?
Yeah, they're just popping left and right.
Did the Brown household contain that many toasters? Or like did Linus go around the neighborhood and round up other toasters from somewhere else? Is his family in the toasting business? What's going on?
Oh, last name Brown. It's Browning Toast. Yeah. I imagine
yes.
they had more than 6 or 7 toasters. And I think it explains why Charlie Brown was such a weird kid.
That's an excellent point that never occurred to me. Yeah, obviously we never even see the parents. So I don't think there was ever any mention of what Charlie Brown's parents did for a living. And yeah, clearly their name is Brown. The family, going back generations, they're in the toasting business.
Yes, the Brown Toasting Company.
Thus we have 18,000 toasters. I like that old-timey toaster, the side-loading one. Remember that one?
Side-loading toaster.
Like the sides pop out and you put the bread in?
Yes.
Wow. I want one of those. That looks like a fire hazard.
I just want one that makes your toast, honest to goodness, airborne when it pops out. Because, you know, it usually just pops to the surface, right? So you can take your toast out. I want my toast to literally fly out of the slot.
Man, the toast was flying that day. But how did they not burn the house down making all that toast and popcorn?
Well, easy. They put the dog in the kitchen instead of the kids.
The dog's in charge. The dog took off its pilgrim suit, put on the chef's hat, and went to work. Now, also on the Wikipedia toast page, for one thing, there's a photo. It's like a split-screen photo, and one half is an untoasted slice of bread. The other half, toasted slice of bread.
Thank you for clearing that up for us, Wikipedia.
For you to compare visually. You know, now, I mean, I admire how thorough they're being with these Wikipedia entries, but anybody that needs that, I feel like you should not be allowed on the internet. I also learned on the toast page, it says the first reference to toast in print is a recipe for oil soppies. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. Probably not. But there's some ancient recipe from the 1400s. It's a recipe for flavored onions stewed in a gallon of stale beer and a pint of oil.
With?
Then you put toast in it.
Toast.
Doesn't that sound delicious? Onions stewed in stale beer and oil?
I can almost smell it from the way that you're describing it. And
That's what they were eating in the 1400s, evidently.
Ugh.
And even though they had toast, they would ruin it by dunking it into their onions and stale beer.
Beer-battered toast.
This says in the 1400s and 1500s, toast was either discarded or eaten after it was used as a flavoring for drinks. That's how you flavored your beverage back then. In the 1400s. Now, this is pretty good, but I wish it tasted like toast. They would...
I've made drinks that taste like a lot of different things, Kevin.
Haven't you always yearned for a toast-flavored beverage? This keeps going. It says, in the 1600s, toast was still thought of as something to be put into drinks.
Is that where we get the expression, raising a toast, do you think?
You raise it up, then you just drop it in the glass.
Right.
That's what I learned about toast today. Here's a weird pretzel fact for you, also from Wikipedia. Way back in the day, pretzels were hidden on Easter morning, just as eggs are hidden today. Is that possibly true, or did somebody hack into Wikipedia just to be weird?
That sounds a little bit like wishful thinking. Because if you give me a choice, like if I'm going to go on a hunt and either find eggs or pretzels, you know I'm going to pick pretzels.
You'd rather hunt for pretzels.
Oh, any day of the week.
Yeah, I get that.
I didn't want to harsh your fun there, but I was kind of thinking that that comment about the 1400s and the onions was a Wikipedia hack, but...
We don't believe any of this.
I don't believe in... I just don't.
The annual United States pretzel industry is worth over $1.2 billion. The average American consumes about 1.5 pounds of pretzels per year. That sounds low to me.
Oh my goodness, yeah, it does.
I feel like I could have 1.5 pounds of pretzels as soon as we're done this podcast.
I know I've had more than my share.
Oh yeah, yeah, me too. I feel like I'm really driving up that national average. All right, pretzels. And so, now, Snoopy was serving, like, the pretzel sticks.
Right.
Which are pretty stupid. That's essentially just, it's a salt delivery system at that point, you know?
It is. I used to pretend I was a pencil sharpener when I would eat them.
Popcorn. Popcorn's been around a long time. Thousands of years. It says archaeologists discovered that people have known about popcorn for thousands of years. What a dreadfully boring Indiana Jones movie that would have made. Archaeology. Not quite like in the movies. They're studying popcorn. They found popcorn in Mexico from 3600 BC.
That is some seriously stale popcorn.
Let's see, during the Great Depression, popcorn became very popular because it was cheap. As other businesses were failing, the popcorn business thrived. Big source of income for many struggling farmers, including the Redenbacher family.
Sounds about right.
That was their big chance. Now, the Orville Redenbacher popcorn did not actually officially launch as a brand product until 1970.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they got big in a hurry. Because, man, by the 80s, you know, those commercials, the old man.
I think modern-day Ted Danson kind of looks like Orville Redenbacher.
Do you think so?
I think so. Maybe you put them side by side and I would think differently, but that's...
I'm pretty sure you're completely wrong about that. You just named the two most dissimilar human beings on the face of the earth. You know who reminds me of Orville Redenbacher? Ted Sam Mayday Malone Danson.
Well, modern day Ted Danson.
You mean today? Well, yeah, he's got the white hair today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, he's getting a little closer. Yeah, I was thinking Cheers era. I'm still back in the 80s.
No. Oh, I'm not thinking Cheers, because you see him on things like The Good Place nowadays.
Sure.
And the Orville. I think just every day that passes, Ted Danson looks a little more...
One of these days...
Like Orville Redenbacher.
He's going to go full Redenbacher.
That's my prediction.
I suppose you just may be right. I take it all back. Let's talk jelly beans quickly. It says here, it's been claimed that jelly beans were first mentioned in 1861 when Boston confectioner William Schraft urged people to send his jelly beans to soldiers during the American Civil War.
Jelly bean delivery.
So, a couple of points here. I like that this guy's trying to come across like this is what he's doing for the war effort. Here's how we're going to save the Union. Everybody, please send my jelly beans to soldiers. Isn't this all about just this guy, you know, just trying to move some product?
Yeah, it does seem a little self-serving now that you think about it.
Taking advantage of the Civil War by trying to guilt everybody into buying his jelly beans.
You think the soldiers ever got to the point where they were like, if I see another jelly bean?
Was there like a jelly bean delivery guy pulling up in Gettysburg?
On a horse.
Getting caught in the crossfire.
Here comes Jellybean Joe.
Imagine surveying the battlefield afterwards. What happened here? What is... Huh. Did not expect this to be such a delicious war. And so the other thing, I like that this was a Boston guy. This is Boston confectioner William Schraft. Because Boston, back in the day, it was a big candy town.
Very true.
There were a lot of candy companies operating out of Boston. And then, you know, Necco
yeah.
rose to be the big candy company, and everybody knows Necco wafers, right? Necco was the New England confectionery company or something like that.
Yes.
That's where the name Necco comes from, with their stupid Necco wafers. And I like this. Also on the Jelly Bean Wikipedia page, I learned that there's a section called slang. So here's some Jelly Bean slang for you, Cornflake. In United States slang, during the 1910s and early 1920s, a jelly bean was a young man who dressed stylishly but had little else to recommend him. Similar to the older terms dandy and fop.
Oh my.
Now listen to this. There's a story. It says F. Scott Fitzgerald, you know, the Great Gatsby dude, F. Scott Fitzgerald published a story about such a character, the jelly bean.
Wow.
And then there's also, I want to read that. There's also from William Faulkner. In The Sound and the Fury, Jason complained about his niece Quentin's promiscuity, remarking that even the town jelly beans gave her the go-by.
Oh, wow. Snappity snap.
I love this, and I think we should bring this back.
You'll have no argument from me.
It's been 100 years.
Let's do it.
I want to bring back the jelly bean.
Let's call them jelly beans.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
Jelly beans for the holidays.
All right, so there's a closer look at what Snoopy was throwing on everybody's plate.
That really made the show festive.
Get out in the backyard, have a dog fling a plate of jelly beans at you. One of the chairs at the table is possessed, is a demon. It's angry. It will beat you up. That one chair almost killed Snoopy moments before the Thanksgiving dinner. Snoopy had to fight a chair.
That's when you know there's been too much booze.
And I've pointed this out time and again over the years. The chair that beats up Snoopy, it was that weird, like, pink and white striped chair.
Yeah.
When Franklin shows up, because, you know, Peppermint Patty and Marcy and Franklin, they all show up expecting their big Thanksgiving dinner. The fabric of the chair, the pink and white striped chair, perfectly matches Franklin's pants.
I've never noticed that before.
Oh, you watch carefully this year, Cornflake, when you watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Because what's going on?
You got me.
Franklin's pants are made out of a demon chair, Cornflake. Happy Thanksgiving. That's what you got, Cornflake. Watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Stay home. Watch Free Birds.
Yes.
My favorite turkey movie. You know, it's time-traveling turkeys.
That's what every holiday needs.
It's a great movie. It should be a Thanksgiving classic, except that nobody knows it exists. So check it out. Time-traveling turkeys in a time machine voiced by George Takei. How can that not be the best Thanksgiving movie ever?
I get the feeling that a lot of people are missing out and need to see that.
Check it out. You'll love it. I don't know if it's on some streaming whatever, but it's out there somewhere. Go find it, you know?
It is, yes.
Does that cover Thanksgiving, Cornflake? Do you have any other secret weird Thanksgiving plans to share?
Not a secret. Just booze.
Got your big bottle of Wild Turkey?
You know I do.
Excellent.
Not going anywhere.
Just relax in the backyard with your bottle of Wild Turkey. Some jelly bean might come strolling along. You know, a young man dressed stylishly but with little else to recommend him.
As long as he's wearing a mask.
Pull up a demonic, possessed, dangerous chair, my good man, my jelly bean. Here, have some Wild Turkey. You're going to have quite a Thanksgiving.
You know it.
Given the weird, limited nature of the Macy's Thanksgiving parade this year, what's going to happen to the underdog balloon? Could we book? We could have the underdog balloon flying over Chickentown this year.
That would be so great.
I wonder if it's too late to arrange that. We should look into that. That's the only one I want. I don't care about any other balloon.
I kind of want the Garfield one.
Cornflake, that's our Thanksgiving spectacular. Get us out of here.
Okay. Please come and see us at flopcast.net or at facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast. We're on Instagram. Can you believe it? The_flopcast. You can go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. One other thing you should know is that music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation completely fueled by Necco wafers.
That makes a lot of sense now that you mention it.
That's why they're so bland and disappointing. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for this Thanksgiving spectacular edition of the Flopcast. Everybody, enjoy your stupid, weird holiday. Stay home. Be safe. Be good. Be kind. Be silly. We'll see you next week.
Peace and jelly beans.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Oh, hey, Cornflake.
Well, hey there.
We're still here for the secret after show. Hello.
Secret after show. So we use the show to talk about Thanksgiving. Can the secret after show be Friendsgiving?
Sure. What you got?
I don't know. I was just being nostalgic about Friendsgiving, but I figured like the folks that stick around with us to the end, it's kind of like a gathering of friends that you would have outside the big formal Thanksgiving time. So I was thinking of Friendsgiving pass. Do you have any fun stories from times where you have either had or attended Friendsgiving?
You know I don't have any friends.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.